Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, and hope you all had a blessed Resurrection Day with great memories of just who we really are in Christ Jesus. Let's give him praise.
Oh, Lord, we do praise, worship, and glorify you alone. Thank you for the water of your word that washes us clean while providing protection from the evil one and strength, courage, stamina, and power that is so very much needed in these last days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and also for any believer who still keeps one foot in the world that they may encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that continually try to derail our focus on you. We also lift up to you these recent prayer requests for miraculous healings, and may the hostages in Gaza be soon found. And most important, may tonight's study glorify you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, you have some obvious news.
Yes. Everyone by now knows Pope Francis passed yesterday morning, and we, of course, are wondering who his successor will be. He knew he was dying, so I am sure he made his preference known to his fellow cardinals, who will be voting very soon. According to the prophecy of the popes made centuries ago, the last pope will take the name of Peter.
He will be well-liked and very charismatic.
And immediately start working with Israel to gain back their favor, as Pope Francis has been often critical of Israel, and the new pope will no doubt encourage the building of their temple, as he will one day may want to sit in it, as some suspect. Satan will have his way.
And Daniel 9 says this evil prince will come from Rome.
As most know, Pope Francis was the first Jesuit, also called the Society of Jesus, of the Fourth Vow, which he took in 1973. And if you have listened to any of our past programs in our archives, especially in 2020, you know how evil the Fourth Vow is, which I am told the writing has been changed somewhat on many sites for the public due to its obvious wickedness.
You can still find the original if you dig.
If you dig. But it is hard to read right now. I'm telling you, it's really hard. But I'm still going to give you a few snippets in the exact words. And this is the exact words. It says, I do promise and declare, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and that I will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics. Rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. That when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisoned cup, the strangulating cord, the steel of the poniard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the person or persons, whatever may be their condition in life, either public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by any agent of the Pope or superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Faith of the Society of Jesus.
And by the way, Pope Francis admitted that he took that vow when addressing other fellow Jesuits.
He did.
Anyhow, we would guess Pope Francis suggested another Jesuit for Pope.
I would think so, probably. And there are two Jesuit cardinals right now still eligible, as they are under 80 years old. That would be Cardinal Cerny and Cardinal Hollerich. But remember, Genesis 49, where Jacob blessed his 11 sons, except, though, the tribe of Dan. And he said that a descendant would be as a serpent and a viper.
Also, the tribe of Dan was the first to defect and begin worshiping idols.
It's true. So because of Genesis 49, many believe this next and prophesied to be the last of all popes will have Jewish blood.
Is there a Jesuit cardinal with Jewish blood?
Yes. Cardinal Cerny is a Catholic convert from Judaism. It won't be too long before we know, but if this comes to be, I personally will flip out and wonder if he will turn out to be that son of perdition.
So, Daniel 9 says he'd be from Rome. Genesis 49 says he will have Jewish blood, and the Jesuit hierarchy of the fourth vow are vile vipers.
And we have been seriously looking at the year 2025 as the rapture for a while now. And God said in Hebrews 10 that we will be able to see the day approaching, at least a remnant who know the deeper truths of God. While the Laodiceans, well, they're not going to see, even when the handwriting is on the wall.
For they do not study prophecy.
Sad. And speaking of Rome, last week they held the second round of peace talks about Iran's nuclear program, with another third session this Saturday back in Oman, with experts meeting there in a few days beforehand to talk about the technical aspects. And both sides suggest there is good movement, but no specific readout from the United States, at least after 4 hours of meetings.
We all knew that Iran would slow walk these negotiations.
Yes. And it's interesting to see how these talks were conducted, in that the two delegations were in two separate rooms, with Oman's foreign minister passing messages between them. Question is, how patient is Trump?
Or Israel, for that matter.
Yeah, particularly Israel.
Speaking of Israel, what's the latest with them?
Well, they continue to hit Gaza and is making significant progress, all the while searching for the remaining hostages.
But there was another deal on the table in Egypt yesterday.
Yes, with Hamas giving in a little more by saying they'll release all the hostages in exchange for hundreds of Palestinians in Israeli prisons. But Israel must leave completely and allow another Palestinian faction to rule over Gaza. Oh, and Hamas will give up most all of their weapons.
So Hamas gets to stay?
That's what they say, but they say that they'll stay, but they just won't have any power. And that is a lie. So we'll see how Israel answers to all that. And the United States continues to hit Houthi targets in Yemen on almost a daily basis.
Let's leave the news portion on a brighter note.
Oh, yes, let's. Pastor Jeffress said that on Wednesday night's Passover dinner in honor of the Last Supper, President Trump reaffirmed his belief with other faith leaders, and he and Melania prayed for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our nation. And that is very good news.
Yes, it is. We welcome your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are more than appreciated, which will include you in our monthly newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net. where you will find our past radio and newsletters archived for your learning pleasure. Okay, we are now in Daniel's last, chapter 12.
We are, but first I want to answer a question that came in last week about how he had once been told that Daniel was a eunuch, but there is no scriptural evidence of that. The Hebrew word that is cited that could mean eunuch is saris, which can also mean official in the court, which we know Daniel was.
So as sometimes is the case, context matters.
Yes, and most scholars say neither he nor his companions were eunuchs.
So, last week in chapter 11, we talked a lot about that coming vile Antichrist.
We did, and as a reminder, the first six chapters are narrative and the last six are prophetic. And we can see the many foreshadows of it happening today.
We have had quite a tour so far.
Yes, Daniel had quite a colorful career. He saw two major world empires with highly unusual relationships and encounters.
We should all dwell on his model example.
He was God's beloved, as was John, and no others had that label.
Oh, except, of course, Yeshua.
Yes, of course. Anyhow, chapter 12 is yet future, but we can see it emerging. And verse 1 begins with, at that time.
What time is that?
Well, at the time of trouble, which always means Jacob's trouble that we call the tribulation.
And Michael the archangel will stand tall, ready to help Israel.
Yes. Remember, Michael is called the great prince because, let's say he's the military commander. Remember who went to help Gabriel fight the prince of Persia? And that was back in chapter 10.
Which is Iran today.
And since these entities don't die,
at least not yet,
Iran still has its evil prince calling the shots and whispering into the mullah's ears. And when the timing is right,
during the tribulation,
they will shoot a nuke toward Israel, but God stops it. And I, in midair, I would hope to see that. And turns it around to hit Iran themselves. It's because of prophecy, obviously unknown to them, that Iran will probably not give up its nuclear ambitions.
Even if some deal is made, you know, they're going to cheat.
Oh, for sure. Which gives us a clue as to why Trump, as guided by the Holy Spirit, told Bibi not to hit their nuke bases, because Ezekiel 38 must be fulfilled, which means Iran will have nukes.
God, you know, that is very close to the rapture.
We are, especially now that a new pope will soon emerge. Many think it can happen this fall because of Hosea 6 and the still unfulfilled fall feasts. I mean, he said he'd be back in 2 days. Just 2,000 years. And it's our generation who are witnessing huge signs on a larger scale that have never been before. And look at how people are playing God today, as in remaking one's sex, hybrids, as in the days of Noah, and the left is praising known killers.
And that's just to name a few absurdities.
It's just so all demonic. But you all know that. It also says here in Daniel 12, verse 1, that those Israelis who are written in the book shall be delivered, which also confirms Ezekiel 38, 39, and Revelation 12.
And now verse 2 has parts A and B.
It does. First, it explains our resurrection slash rapture. And notice it says many, not all.
Just the righteous.
And then part B has a 1,000-year gap until the other resurrection of the evil dead are shamed and sent to everlasting contempt when judged at the great white throne judgment.
At the end of the Messianic Kingdom, Revelation 20.
Now, verse 3 describes how we believers will shine bright as the stars.
And emphasizes particularly those who turn many to righteousness.
Yeah, did you hear that? That's something to think about. Why are we here?
To spread the gospel.
And this verse makes us very aware of what God thinks is most important in our walk.
Witnessing.
For sure.
And verse 4 is certainly visible today.
Not only has knowledge increased, but it's off the rails. And what was once sealed is now open for interpretation. And the book of Revelation reveals much of it, as we see everyone running to and fro, as on planes, trains, and automobiles, that can even drive themselves, and even soon to fly, unless God intervenes as he should because of the cloning and the chimeras of mixing animals with humans. That until the CRISPR, they call it, which slices DNA, happened in our generation, and only our generation. Otherwise, this could not happen. You know, many years ago, God made it obvious to me to stir up the church through prophecy teaching.
And gave you a vivid vision.
Yes, of myself going up in the rapture, which I embrace to this day. We are the generation to hear the last trump, and I am sure it will be very soon.
Indeed.
Okay, remember chapter 12 is all about the very end of history, starting with the rapture / resurrection of verse 2.
Now in verse 5 and 6, Daniel sees two men on each side of the river.
Yes, and Daniel asked the man in linen, that would be Christ, because he stood above the waters, how long would this time be, referring to Jacob's trouble, which we know from verse 7, he specifically referred to the last 3.5 years. We also read in verse 7 how Christ raised his arms up, which is the symbol for God's initial, as in the letter Sheen.
Meaning Almighty.
Yes, and it's used all the time in Israel on everything. As well, the power of the holy people will also be over, because only Christ will then have the power when it is all finished.
Verse 8, Daniel asks again, when will all this be?
And the man in linen said in verse 9, go your way. It's not for you to worry about, for it is sealed till the time of the end. But then in verse 10, he adds that although many will be made white and purified, others, called the wicked, will continue to do wickedly, and only the wise will understand, as we do. And where do we get our wisdom? Well, from the Word of God, of course. Let's read Proverbs 1, verse 7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
How often I tell people to study their Bible, but few listen.
Scripture calls them fools.
Even the New Testament in 2 Timothy 3:15 says the sacred writings give us wisdom. That leads to more faith.
Even one's salvation.
Yes, it's the word that convicts one's soul.
Anyhow, moving on to verse 11.
Yes, which tells us exactly when the Antichrist will stop the daily sacrifices, which is 30 days before the last 3.5 years.
So, 1,290 days before Christ returns in the clouds.
Yes. Now, since we know the halfway mark is Nisan 10 on the Hebrew calendar, what marks the 30 days before is Shavuot 10.
So, do you want to explain how you know Nisan 10 is the third year of the tribulation is the halfway part.
Okay. As my studies have determined to me, is that the covenant of Daniel 9:27 will happen on a Yom Kippur, which begins the tribulation. Why? Because Jesus must return on a Yom Kippur to literally fulfill their Day of Atonement. So, 3.5 years after the signing comes exactly to Nisan 10, which, by the way, is the date that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, and the only way Christ allowed them to hail him as king. Then he went to the temple. Since Antichrist is an imitator, he too will expect to be hailed as king on a Nisan 10 and go and sit in the temple.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
It's just a matter of connecting the dots.
And having all those puzzle parts fit.
Let's read aloud all of verse 11, as our English is a little tricky to understand.
And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days.
The Hebrew words for set up here means to set vengeance upon.
Meaning that's when the Antichrist will be avenged.
Yes. And Revelation 19, also verse 12, which is also here in Daniel, verse 12 is also tricky, but it's going to be easy once you see it.
Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days.
Okay, 45 days after he returns to earth, which comes to Bull 25.
And why is that significant?
Because according to 1 Kings 6:38, that is the day Solomon finished the temple.
Oh, so that's when Jesus will finish his new temple.
Well, that's my thoughts. But there's more dots to connect. Remember how Jesus was dedicated in the temple 40 days after his birth? Which we know that he was born on Feast of Tabernacles, Tishri 15.
Yes, he was.
Well, that was in the same month, Bull 25 as well. And one more nugget that isn't mentioned here, but 30 days after the temple's completion comes Hanukkah, which will be the dedication of the completed temple. And this is why I love Hebraic Roots, because just a minimum amount of knowledge has given me some great gold nuggets, and they're yours to find as well. And remember, I was just an average student and a Catholic all my life till about 35 when I got saved and began to look at Jesus in a deeper way, like how he was raised and who he was as a Jew. So if I can learn, so can anyone. And please, don't tell me that it's way over your head, as some often say to me, because it isn't. You're listening to the wrong spirit. Just dig in and let the Holy Spirit guide you, and he will. Keep your reference books handy, especially your strong concordance. That way you can look up words, and the Holy Spirit will nudge you to do so. And now I want to say, is Yeshua really Lord over your life? Luke 21 says you can escape what's coming with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your innermost being, into your spirit. Let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There is no in between. Those who are lukewarm, by the way, if you're a Christian, get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's word. You'll need it for discernment. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.